The cause of death was the puzzling failure to thrive. I knew the term only in connection to babies, having remembered learning about so-called sterile orphanages in Europe at the turn of the century. To stop the spread of germs and disease, nurses were instructed to hang sterilized sheets between the cribs and to refrain from touching the babies, except to feed, clothe, and bathe them. Soon, the babies were sicker than ever. They ate less. They were more lethargic. Many contracted the very diseases the sterile practices were meant to prevent. Death rates soared to 75% at some orphanages. At one institution, every baby died. Similarly, hospitalized children, cut off from their parents for long stretches of time, often withered and died. Doctors were stumped. Not until the 1940s, when Austrian-American psychiatrist René Spitz began to study the case, did a theory begin to emerge. Babies need physical and social interaction to flourish. To test his hypothesis, he found two groups of babies to compare. One was being raised in an orphanage, the other in a women's prison. The orphans were essentially isolated in their cribs, with a lone nurse tasked with caring for seven babies. The second group lived in the prison nursery where their mothers cared for them every day. These babies also interacted with other babies and the nursery staff. After a year, Spitz compared the two groups. In motor skills and cognitive performance, the orphans severely lagged behind their prison counterparts. After 2 years, 37% of the orphans had died, but none of the prisoners' babies. By the third year, the prison infants walked and talked at levels comparable to those of children raised in family settings. At the orphanage, only 2 of the 26 children could walk and articulate a few words. American psychologist Harry Harlow built on Spitz's research. Anyone who has taken an intro to psychology class probably remembers Harlow's disturbing experiments on monkeys in the 1950s. Baby rhesus monkeys were taken from their mother soon after birth and put in cages with 2 inanimate surrogate, quote, mothers. One was a bare wire figure with a square plastic head. It offered 24-hour access to milk. The other figure was layered with soft terry cloth and had a round face with big eyes and a smile. But it offered no food. The monkeys spent nearly all their time cuddling and embracing the terry cloth surrogate. They left it only to feed quickly at the bare wire mother. The researchers then took the terry cloth mother away for up to 9 months. The babies eventually lost interest in eating. They behaved erratically. They curled up in a ball. Vital body rhythms, heart, respiration, sleep, were disrupted. Like the orphanage babies and my widowed father, they died from failure to thrive. The results of these studies clearly show that babies need more than just caretaking to develop normally. They need to meet another's gaze, to be held close, to hear the lilt of a voice and the beat of a heart. Like all primates, humans are pack animals. We all have our tribes, whether family, congregation, friends, workplace, or team. We need connection today as much as we did when our ancestors lived in caves. And it's not just infants, of course. Like the case of my own parents, long marriages that end with a spouse passing can often catalyze the death of the widow or widower. My mother's presence provided something more essential to my father than food, water, or sleep. On a July afternoon in 2009, a few years before my parents died, I found myself in a large white tent outside what was then called AT&T Park in San Francisco. There, a group of middle-aged former baseball players were gathered for a reunion. Some were businessmen now. Some still made their living in baseball. There were a few jowls, a smattering of beer bellies. 2 or 3 looked like they could still leg out a slow grounder. Bursts of laughter punctuated the conversations, the familiar give and take. And something else. I could hear it in their voices and see it on their faces